You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's hard to beat Jesus in these words today. But I want to start with a quotation, and I don't have it right here in front of me. But remember, in the second reading, St. Paul said to the Corinthians that it didn't bother him one way or another whether they considered him trustworthy. He was depending on how God ranked him. Several years ago, I saw an article, which I wish I had saved, and I did not. It was either in a newspaper or perhaps even on the electronic screen somewhere. But it was about trustworthiness. And what these people did, whoever did it, they made a list of all the major professions that people can get into. And they asked thousands and thousands of people to rank them in order of which ones you trust the most, right on down to the very least. And so in this list, there were the usual professions, the doctors and the lawyers and the bankers and and it included clergy people, such as myself. It included teachers. It included barbers and beauticians, right on down to automobile salesmen. And it put them all in miscellaneous order, and it asked all these people to rank them in the order of being trustworthy. Who would you trust the most? Well, I don't even remember what the results were. There were surprises in the list, however. But it's interesting that I caught the song that was sung after the first reading this morning, "Trust Only in the Lord." And isn't it true that we've kind of had an erosion of trust in recent years? I mean, it's never been all that good. But I know in the course of the 50 years that I have been a priest, I think I detect a certain cynicism in society. We almost don't trust anybody, including the news media. So there you have it. So being trustworthy is something that I think that we've got to examine and make some decisions about, because when people do not have trust in one another, or in God for that matter, then all the other things that Jesus has been preaching about for several months now to us, all that happens, including the anxiety and the fear and the violence and all of that sort of thing. So we've got to make sure that we trust God and that we at least trust one another as well as we can. The scriptures that we have been following during this ordinary time, that little season of green vestments between Christmas and start of Lent, it's pretty long this year, because Ash Wednesday, which we finally get this coming week, is about as late as it can possibly be. And so we are already at the eighth Sunday in ordinary time. But I think it's a great blessing, because I hope you've been following these gospels that we started several months ago already, which all come from the fifth and sixth chapters of St. Matthew's Gospel. Remember, it all started out about 6-7 weeks ago, where Jesus went up on the mountain, sat down, and began teaching. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers, and those who are sorrowful now. And he set up the whole program of his message. And somebody has said to me many times over the years, wouldn't it be wonderful if we ever tried it? The Sermon on the Mount. Now, probably the Sermon on the Mount, as Matthew teaches it, probably was not all one sermon that Jesus gave. People would have fallen out and fallen asleep if he'd gone that long. It's probably a collection of sermons, all put together in a literary style as one long piece. But today we kind of get to the end of it, and isn't it wonderful where Jesus shows such wonderful common sense, such wonderful wisdom, not only at the divine level, but at the human level. And he tells us, why do we wear ourselves to a frazzle worrying about food, drink, clothing, and every other doggone thing on the face of the earth? And I just love his conclusion. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got quite enough troubles of its own. Isn't that so true? We absolutely wear ourselves into a total frazzle, and then we have to go to the pharmacy and get preparations to calm our anxieties. There's something wrong with this picture. It's certainly not what God intended for us, even on this earth, and it's certainly not going to be true when we get to the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is preaching such a revolutionary message, and it's as true today as it was in his own time. People at the time of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, they had all kind of reasons to be anxious and uptight. I mean, they were living in pretty well poverty. They had the Roman oppressors who had conquered their country. Even their own religious leaders were pretty much useless and two-faced. And so trust had eroded for them as well as for us. And so they needed to hear what Jesus was saying. And up until that point, even though they were God's chosen people, their religion had not served them that well. For them, it was all just a series of commandments that you had to slavishly follow, do this, and don't do that, and it got to the point of you couldn't even remember them all. And so people were even anxious and uptight about religion on top of their natural lives. And Jesus came and said, people, stop this craziness, trust God, and trust one another. And most of them, it went in one ear and out the other. I'm sure they went away from the Sermon on the Mount and went right on back to their old frazzled old lives of being uptight and anxious about everything from morning till night. So I think that there is a message here that is so providential, as we are just now 3 days from the season of Lent. Now, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, I hated Lent. First place, I couldn't eat candy for 40 days. And then there were all kind of other things that it just got a little bit on the gloomy side, and it was right at the worst time of the year when the weather wouldn't cooperate and you'd had cabin fever on top of it all. And so it was kind of a miserable time. I hated to see the church turn from green to purple on Ash Wednesday, because it was just plain old sad and anxious. And there's something wrong with that picture as well. And so we're going to all come true, I hope you all do, on Ash Wednesday, 3 days from now, come in here and get some ashes smeared on our foreheads, be reminded that we are very human and ashes, and we're just passing through, by the way. And the church is going to tell us that there are certain things that you do during Lent. And Jesus was quite clear, those things are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which is a symbol for just works of charity. But what is underneath all of that, and I want to encourage you as you kind of program yourself now to get into this 40-day season, please understand it's not about the external practices. I don't care if you eat a box of Fannie Mae chocolates every day during Lent. That's not the idea. The idea is to fix and optimize our relationships. Our relationships with God, and then our relationships with one another. And certainly, if you look around the world, Everybody's uptight and everybody's mad at somebody else. And if we Christians don't turn this around by believing the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus is teaching, what hope is there for this world? And so for God's sake, give up or do whatever you want to do at the external level during Lent, but make the real change in the heart. Make sure that you stop thinking of God as a heavenly policeman who's keeping track of everything and just trying to catch you doing something wrong so he can send you to purgatory or worse after you die. Jesus said, people, this is not the God who is my Father. He said, my Father loves you and has mercy on you and wants to bring you in to a loving, intimate relationship. But how often, here we are 2,000 years after Jesus, and we still, a lot of us, kind of get back on this rather inadequate idea of God as somebody who's out to get us. And just let you step out of line one time, and by God, you're off to purgatory for 1,000 years. This is not the God that Jesus said is his Father. This is a false God. And I want to suggest, first of all, that the first job of each and every one of us during Lent is to make sure we've got a Jesus idea of God and not some idol that we have created and is out to get us. And then once we get that straight, then we've got to work on our relationships with one another. And let's face it, human relationships can so easily fall into disrepair and get a little frazzly. It can happen at the family level, it can happen on the job, school, neighborhood, certainly between nations. Just go home and look at your paper this morning and see how many people are angry at somebody else and throwing bombs at them and things. This is not right. This is not of God either. So that's what I want you to think about as you launch into the season of Lent. Be cheerful about it and get the job done right. And lastly, since we have a celebration going on here this morning, I want to suggest to you that the sacrament of matrimony that Richard and Audrey have lived so faithfully for 65 years is one way that God is trying to teach us that we're supposed to love and trust one another. We're supposed to commit ourselves, make ourselves even vulnerable to one another, and if we do that, we will be imitating Jesus and we will be of some use to the rest of the world. So as we pray and celebrate today, let's thank God for the wisdom and the revelation that has been given us. But let us not be just thoughtless hearers and then go away and be the same old people we've always been. Let's enter into this holy season and come out at the other end at the celebration of the resurrection, truly a changed and a holy people. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.